It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. A little bit late, but better than never. We are off and running on this 13th day of May, 2021. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go. Also, if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. And, well, if you do, at the moment, you'll be greeted by not early arrivers, but arrivers. I'm the late arriver. You'll be greeted by Stockton Larry and Squeaky and Ralphs, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he is a third stage guild navigator, is still not folding space and remains Sparky and man cave nowhere to be seen. He is capably assisted this evening by pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. Hi, I'm Robin. It is Thorn in the Side Thursday, and we have considerable thornage with which to deal this evening, and we'll get to as much as we possibly can. But every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. Thanks going out to our 13th day of the month subscribers. And in this particular case, that would be, in no particular order, that would be Greg and Gary. Or Gary and Greg. No particular order. See what I mean? Also, thank you very kindly to David. And thanks as well to Kathleen. Thank you both very kindly. That takes our fundraising goal to be even with the week. Down to $965. $965. And maybe if we can get Tuesday fully funded, because that would be, let's see, Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday. No, that can't be right. $865. I'm terribly sorry. But if we can knock out the $165, that'll get us down to a not four digits Friday on the Front Porch Community Made Miracle, okay, when we come around for the program tomorrow. So thank you. Thank you, one and all, for being partial sponsors of the program. That's how this program continues to exist. I can never say enough how grateful I am that you keep this program in existence and have for nearly two decades. The program is just now starting because it's been a little noisy here in the studio, and that I didn't want to scream over power equipment or anything like that, but we're still going to have some of it, but that's okay. We'll be all right. And now there's a call coming in that I have to take. Stand by, please. Well, this is going to be one of those fits and starts evenings, I suppose. but we will get there, and the program's going. Couple of hiccups and burps, and but things have settled down here in the studio, and hopefully we will have a thorn in the side Thursday that will merit the name. I don't think there's going to be any problem coming up with that kind of content. No, not even a little bit. But let's get things started in what's the term in Congress, in regular order. And subject line: ignorance and misinformation. Robert, last night's program was really intense, and the discussion of Liz Cheney's speech in Congress declaring she's running for president in 2024. That's exactly what that speech was all about, Joey writes, as she invoked Reagan's Republican Party mantra of how Reagan won the Cold War and brought respect back to America, except that's not what happened, and he gave us Frisbees and wheat checks. And yeah, now, Liz Cheney's Republican Party, featuring her father as a Nixon staff member in the 70s and the puppet master of W in the 2000s, had little to do with winning any wars. The Reagan-Nixon-Bush Republican Party has been all about starting illegal wars, war crimes, treason, ridiculous tax cuts for the rich that have run up the national debt, and dismantling the middle class, not to mention shitting all over union workers, minorities, and LGBTQIA plus people. And in the words of Matt in San Francisco, hey, Liz, that is your Ronald Reagan Republican Party, bitch. Hell, I'm surprised with her mention of Reagan that she did not mention Philadelphia, Mississippi, and Cheney, Goodman, and Schwerner. Jeffrey is, of course, here. Did somebody say Philadelphia? It was on this day in 1985 that the Philadelphia police dropped a bomb containing C4 and Tovex on the radical group known as MOVE. 53 houses were destroyed, leaving 240 people homeless. So for all of you gun nuts who think a stockade of assault rifles is going to save you from a government force, you are morons and thorn in your own side. Back to Liz Cheney. As we mentioned yesterday, this crossing of the Trump machine is a bad gamble for Liz Cheney, because these Republicans are so stupid they would vote for Trump even if he was in prison, and the misogynist male Republicans will not vote for another Meemaw K. Ivey-type character for president. In fact, mark my giraffe jargon, the shallow, Trump-loving white men who, just like Donald Trump, often objectify women, including his own daughter, will actually vote for Iwanka Trump before they would ever vote for Liz Cheney. Good points all, giraffery. However, that was Philadelphia, Mississippi, of which... where Reagan delivered his racist speech, not Philadelphia, PA. Did Jeffrey mention Meemaw, the governor of Alabama? Why, yes, I think so. Well, on this day in 1914, boxer Joe Louis was born in Lafayette, Alabama. Almost did a double take yesterday when I saw Bailey Breedlove with her daughter being kicked out of Six Flags in Oklahoma. No, the double take was not because she was a very attractive young woman, but because she looks exactly like a server by the name of Ashley, who works at the spaghetti warehouse right across the street from Gojo. The last time I saw Ashley was before the election, and she had her tattoos just like Bailey, and she had virtually the same haircut as Bailey Breedlove of Oklahoma. And one other similarity is that Ashley, just like Bailey, is 27 with a young daughter. The last time I was at the restaurant back in October 2020, I asked her if she was registered to vote, and she said she was considering voting. I then asked her what she knew about the candidates, and she went on to tell me that she could not vote for Biden because he... sexually assaults children. So I calmly asked her what proof she had of that, and she said she heard it on the Internet. I gently explained to her, as I held my newspaper in my hand, that the Internet has no obligation to be factual, but a newspaper does. I then asked if she ever used WIC, CHIPS, SNAP, any of those programs made possible by Democrats that Republicans constantly try to defund. Mm-hmm. Ashley admitted that she did use WIC. I told her that if her daughter ever had any serious illness, she would likely need to use CHIP, Children's Health Insurance Program. She finished with, well, the best welfare program is a good job. I then finished with, well, you don't have a good job. You're a 27-year-old woman with a child working a job that pays $2 an hour with tips. That ain't a good job. She said she was going to vote for Trump if she did vote, and I finished with, you don't have a good job, and you're going to vote for a man who actually does assault women by grabbing the pussy, and who will be the first president to have a net loss in job creation? She recoiled and then ran off to another table, but she can't run from the fact that she and her daughter's lives will be severely lacking if an individual like Trump ever returns to office. And not surprisingly, that was the last time I talked to her. This has been Joey's Journal for Thorn in the Side Thursday, the 13th day of May, 2021, with Giraffrey reading his newspaper to help stave off the stupidity. Yes, indeed. And there's a $10 stave-off stupidity challenge on the table, which would get us down to 8:45. Actually, it would get us down to, let's see, it would get us down to 8:35. Thank you very kindly to our good friend Larry. Thank you. Thank you very kindly. So the stave-off stupidity challenge is on the table. Hopefully that'll be knocked out fairly quickly. Lee in New York, subject line, Joey's Journal. Sorry to have to interject this to Republican voters. Trickle down brings surplus, starting war brings peace, and making America great is returning the U.S. to 1984. All of which was the gist of Liz Cheney's little presidential campaign kickoff speech that she used the actual House of Representatives to do. Yes, yes. So that gets us at least started this evening. I found out that Sparky has not folded space because the man cave is 95 degrees Fahrenheit, and that would be a hot and miserable and sweaty affair as far as the afternoon is concerned. Yep. So to get us started on this Thorn in the Side Thursday, we have news today that an actual active-duty U.S. Marine Corps officer has been charged for his role in the January 6th attack on the Capitol of the United States and on constitutional governance itself. 40-year-old U.S. Marine Major Christopher Warnagiris. Warnagiris? Yeah, Warnagiris. Violently entered the Capitol on January 6th after pushing through a line of police officers guarding the East Rotunda doors. Once inside, Warnagiris positioned himself in the corner of the doorway, using his body to keep the door open and pull others inside. When a U.S. Capitol police officer tried to pull the doors shut, Warnagiris refused and continued pushing it open. Warnagiris can be seen pushing the officer in an effort to maintain his position in the open door in security camera footage and publicly available video footage captured shortly after 2:25 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the 6th day of January 2021. He's charged with federal offenses that include assaulting, resisting, or impeding certain officers, obstruction of law enforcement during civil disorder, and obstruction of justice, among other charges. He'll make his initial court appearance today. He made his initial court appearance today at 2 p.m. in the Eastern District of Virginia, according to the Department of Justice. And it kind of makes you wonder, how this would be handled under the UCMJ, the Uniform Code of Military Justice. They've got him dead to rights. He showed up with his hoodie on and had a backpack on and was He engaged in an act of warfare against the United States government. I hope there will be a follow-up. There will be follow-up charges under the UCMJ. In fact, and what that means is I hope there will be a court-martial. So that whatever else, because it's necessary. It's past necessary. I suppose we can say that it is one thing when some ordinary mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing maggot from, I don't know, left buttocks, Alabama, travels all the way to Washington, D.C., and engages in an act of open insurrection against the people of the United States. But this guy who allegedly, you have to say allegedly, even though there's video evidence, this guy took an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States of America. and he shit all over that oath on January 6th. But and I know the DOJ is overwhelmed with all of this stuff. But he was probably violating his oath as an officer of the United States Marine Corps before January the 6th, because he obviously had to be reading message boards and taking part in discussions about what was going to take place. It wasn't like he, because remember, we were in a pandemic, still in a lockdown at the Capitol on the 6th of January 2021. And so there's no excuse of, well, I just wanted to go and see the seat of our nation's government. Mm-mm. No. Yeah, in point of fact, the death penalty does still exist under the UCMJ. And while I am generally a death penalty opponent, this guy might make the argument for me that maybe I should find some wiggle room in my position. He assaulted federal officers, the Capitol Police, according to the allegations. And it doesn't matter what those jackasses from the maggot caucus in the House said. You've probably seen the clips by now. They are infuriating, to say the least. Let's see, Paul Gosar, the Arizona dentist who was so despised by his own family that they campaign against him out in Arizona. There was a hearing yesterday in the House on the insurrection. And this was what Paul Gosar had to say.
Madam Chairwoman, my constituents demand answers, but the truth is being censored and covered up. As a result, the DOJ is harassing peaceful patriots across the country. Without accurate answers, conspiracies continue to form. Russia hoax promoter, riot enabler, and Washington State Representative Pramila Jayapal, who objected to the electors in 2016 without the required support of a senator.
Now, hold on here. He is mentioning a member of the House by name and making specific allegations.
Answers, conspiracies continue to form. Russia hoax promoter, riot enabler, and Washington State Representative Pramila Jayapal, who objected.
Pramila Jayapal, but never mind. I mean, you know, she's brown, so why would Paul Gooser bother to learn to correctly pronounce her name? Well, you know. Russia hoax promoter. Meanwhile, he's bobbing his head like Elmo the fucking Muppet, as though somebody's got their hand up his ass, manipulating his mouth like a ventriloquist dummy. Definitely a dummy.
Objected to the electors in 2016 without the required support of a senator, filed an ethics complaint against me for following the law under 3 U.S.C. Code 15, the Electoral Count Act, which...
Wait, the Electoral What Act? Is this guy drunk? Was Paul Gooser drunk when he was reading this with his head bobbing and weaving like he was trying to keep up with the words that were swimming around on the page?
Without the required support of a senator, filed an ethics complaint against me for following the law under 3 U.S.C. Code 15, the Electoral Count Act, which...
That's what I thought I heard. Well, doesn't he think he's being clever?
Filed an ethics complaint against me for following the law under 3 U.S.C. Code 15, the Electoral Count Act, which...
Really? That ain't it. That's not it. He's either drunk or he did that on purpose. Which is it, Paul Gooser?
She herself failed at in 2016. 33 of my Democratic colleagues even wildly speculated that Republican members of Congress gave reconnaissance tours to...
That's not really speculation at this point. that members of the House of Representatives gave recon tours to the insurrectionists. There's either video evidence or there isn't, and there is.
Protesters offering no proof whatsoever. I've repeatedly asked for the Capitol footage from before and during January 6th. Such footage would provide answers, could contain exculpatory evidence regarding the outrageous accusations against members of Congress, and most importantly, exonerate the many Americans who peacefully protested. And
anybody reading that fast, that poorly, again, is drunk or lying and knows it.
Never set foot in the Capitol. Mr. Rosen, wouldn't you agree that the security footage of a public building, of public officials, paid for by public taxpayers, potentially containing exculpatory evidence, should be provided to public defenders?
No. Not until the investigation is complete, because it's evidence of a crime now.
Congressman, I'm just going to have to refer to my opening remarks again.
Well,
there are certain limitations I have here today.
I do, and I believe the American public should see that footage. Madam Chairwoman, I and the American people commend you for holding this hearing. If my Democratic colleagues really want the truth, they would join me in demanding the release of these Capitol surveillance.
Jesus, can you imagine going to the dentist to this guy? Maybe it's better he's in Congress. This guy's kind of got, "Is it safe?" written all over him. Yeah.
Surveillance footage on and the proceedings of January 6th. I yield back. Thank you.
Yeah, what a mess. Then there was representing Ralph Norman of South Carolina stand, long time the home of treason in the United States of America. And apparently he's been real busy, has representing Norman, because he hasn't actually had a chance to find out anything about who actually did the insurrecting on the 6th day of January 2021.
When I see this sheet on our timeline and on the, let's see, at 2:07, a mob of Trump supporters breached the steps. I don't know who did a poll that is Trump supporters. You had the media saying the same thing, just like you had.
Maybe the MAGA hats and the Trump 2020 flags were, a clue?
The media saying Officer Sicknick was killed with a fire extinguisher, which he was not. But I don't know who did the poll to say that they were Trump supporters.
Because, that's the only way we can get answers is by asking the American people, who they think was there. But, if you show them the Trump flags and the 3%er flags and the Oath Keeper flags and the Blue Lives Matter flags and the Trump flags again and the MAGA flags and the Stop the Steal signs. Maybe, you think? Possibly. Then there was representing Andrew Clyde of Georgistan. There was no insurrection. To call it an insurrection is a bold-faced lie. No, this is one of those moments of being a practitioner of the art of knowing words. It's not a bold-faced lie. It is a bald-faced lie. But don't anybody tell Representing Andrew Clyde because, he's just drawing his breath and his pay anyway. Yeah. And those were just tourists.
Never breached, and it was not an insurrection. This is the truth. There was an undisciplined mob. There were some rioters and some who committed acts of vandalism. But let me be clear. There was no insurrection, and to call it an insurrection, in my opinion, is a bold-faced lie.
Again with the, right, bold-faced. First time I heard that, as Steve in New York points out, aha, urethra sending. Look at the Antifa, BLM, and Biden-Harris supporters cleverly masquerading as Trump supporters, complete down to the red hats and the belly overhang.
Watching the TV footage of those who entered the Capitol and walked through Statuary Hall showed people in an orderly fashion staying between the stanchions and ropes, taking videos and pictures. You know, if you didn't know the TV footage was a video from January the 6th, you would actually think it was a normal tourist visit.
Yeah, just a normal tourist. But a moment, just to sort of peek behind some of this insanity. He didn't write that. He's reading a statement, but he did not write it. I feel confident in guaranteeing to you that he did not write it. And the fact that the word stanchion was used means that it probably wasn't written by one of those early 20-something staffers who actually run the government of the United States. So not to get all conspiratorial, but who wrote that? That sounds like it was written by somebody, oh, I don't know, down at Mar-a-Lardass, maybe? Possibly? Yeah, you think? Because they was just walking behind between the ropes and the stanchions, and those just tourists. That's all, it's just tourists. And I guess Major Warnagiris of the United States Marine Corps was just a tourist, that's all. Sorry there, pollen. So what, I mean, really, what do you do? What do you do with Major Warnagiris? But yes, Brother Deacon Asa, you did hear that, right? The Electoral See You Next Tuesday Act. People are free to ask whether Representative Gooser, I don't care about his name any more than he cares about Pramila Jayapal's name. One wonders, what we need is breathalyzers. We need breathalyzers at the door to the committee hearing. Yes, Representative Gooser, if you'd step over here and just blow in this for me. Yeah, get a good, nice long blow there, Representing Gooser. Oh, look at that. Point. What? 0.22? Yeah. That's what I'll be watching for. Don't want to hear about no damn plea bargains either. I want to hear about Major Warnagiris facing a court-martial, because that is, and look, it's kind of like cockroaches, treason is. If you got one, you got a bunch. Subject line, undisciplined mob. Stephen New York says, my art of word-knowing gizzard just quivered. An undisciplined mob? Is there such a thing as a disciplined mob? Mob, as defined by Merriam-Webster. 1. A large and disorderly crowd of people, especially one bent on riotous or destructive action. 2. Informal, a large number of people. A mob of shoppers clogged the aisles as a team greeted by mobs of fans. 3. A criminal set. Gang, especially, often capitalized. Mafia sense. 1. A member of the mob. A mob informant. The emphasis being on disorderly. Yeah, undisciplined mob. Right. And going back just for a minute, a note coming from Elberton, Rhode Island. The Astros played a game Monday night, so I missed your Monday night broadcast. I'm listening to its podcast now. I love the story about computer passwords not to use. It reminded me about a movie about hackers. There's a scene where a hacker's asked to name stupid passwords. A hacker recited all the ones you mentioned except password. He also mentioned another one. Capital G, capital O, capital D. Yeah. But while we're staying with the issues legal, let's check in down in Florida. The former Seminole County tax collector and, tail chasing buddy of representing Matt Gaetz, a guy by the name of Joel Greenberg. He has a hearing scheduled this coming Monday, according to a report from the Orlando Sentinel. He has struck a plea deal with the U.S. Attorney's Office. We don't know yet what he's going to change his plea to. But according to a New York Times report, he's been singing. He's turned snitch, Joel Greenberg has, with the feds. Among other things, telling, according to the New York Times, telling federal authorities, federal investigators, that he and Matt Gaetz both paid for sexual encounters with at least one 17-year-old girl. Of course, we should note here that Matt Gaetz has not yet been charged with a crime. That may soon be changing. The Orlando Sentinel did a good job with the story, if you'd care to go and look. Joel Greenberg, it's OrlandoSentinel.com. Joel Greenberg set for federal court hearing on Monday. He is required to be present before U.S. Magistrate Judge Leslie Hoffman at 10 a.m. Monday. And is expected to enter a change his plea from not guilty to guilty to at least one of the charges. So we will have to wait on pins and needles with bated breath until Monday to find out if there's been a cooperation agreement. You got to figure that Matt Gaetz, despite his boisterous bravado, is, in a word, shitting kittens with crocheted tails. And that's fine by me. And speaking of right-wing members of Congress, well, how about Marjorie Trader Green Cucumber? What's that? No singing, says Lee in New York. Oh, wait, that wasn't you singing. That was Criminal Republicans. Never mind. Never mind. Channeling Gilda Radner. Singing. That's good. Yeah. Steve in New York says, Matt Gaetz is perv buddy. Somebody pulled a Deliverance is squealing like a pig. Squeal. Squeal like a pig. Mm-hmm. A disciplined mob, says Lee in New York. Yes, run by McConnell. True enough. If you haven't heard by now, representing Marjorie Trader Green Cucumber chased Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez down a hall outside the chamber, outside the House chambers, with a green cue ball hollering, "Why do you support terrorists and Antifa?" Well, she doesn't. Antifa is a leaderless... Never mind, I don't have to explain that. We all know what the hell Antifa is. Remaining completely professional, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said that she hopes that the Sergeant-at-Arms will take real steps to make Congress a safe, civil place for all members and staff. To which Marjorie Taylor Green Cucumber, Trader Green Cucumber, replied via Twitter, of course, "Miss Defund the Police wants to call the police for security because she's afraid of debating with me about her socialist GND. I think that means Green New Deal. AOC is a fraud and a hypocrite. That's fine, Sandy. Since you lack the courage and intelligence to debate me, I'll debate the person who really wrote it." Whew. The stump liquor is flowing like a mighty river through the maggot caucus. Meanwhile, because Representative Jewish Space Laser got taken off of her committee, she's now hollering for AOC to be expelled from Congress. Adam Kinzinger, who is part of the alleged sane Republican caucus, said, while I may not agree with AOC on issues, I've never seen her confront a colleague like this. The House was created to debate emotional issues professionally, and it seems some just want attention or cannot handle their emotions. No. Poor Adam. Adam Kinzinger, bless his heart, is living in a different world. He's living in a world that is long since gone past. Marjorie Taylor Greene, for anybody who knows their American history, wants a return to the era between, say, 1825, 1830, and 1860, when knives were routinely drawn, guns were routinely drawn in the House of Representatives. And no doubt that's what Marjorie Taylor Greene Cueball would like to do as well. M-Q, Maggot-Cueball, QAnon. They want a violent, fracas-based house. But I have a question. And this is, and I mean this in no, I do not mean this as a slur, but it isn't a slur. But I'm trying to figure out, well, Marjorie Taylor Greene Cueball is using this to fundraise. I'm sure she sent out a fundraising letter by now. I confronted that socialist Green New Deal Antifa BLM terrorist supporter, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and she was afraid, and she done runned away. Please send me $3 so I can keep her on the run. And, of course, it goes without saying that she didn't come up with this by herself because, Marjorie Taylor Greene Cucumber is a, I know it's not more Monday, but she's a moron. A moron with a gun. And so one hopes that she will have some sort of, I don't know, what do we want? A forceful 7th grade Twitter spat? I don't know. Larry asks, I wonder why AOC won't confront her or debate her, though, I mean, she goes after Ted Cruz. Do you think she's just trying to drive Marjorie Taylor yellow nuts? She doesn't seem to want to go at her with debate. Wise, probably. Be a waste of time anyway, but I wonder if she's just playing head games by avoiding her. Well, okay, I'll buy that. Maybe it's rope-a-dope. Maybe she's letting her punch herself out. Maybe with every tweet, she shows herself to be an even bigger idiot than we already thought she was. But let's see if that district in Georgia grows tired of her shenanigans, or if they're actually sitting down there in that district in Georgia going, "Woo, woo, Margie, do it again." Oh, I tell you what, I love watching that Margie. That Margie, she's a sure enough card. Of course, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was put in fear for her life on the 6th day of January. Maybe that's what this is all about, painting her as a coward. Possible, you think? Maybe? Oh, and I have it now that we've entered the second hour of the program, even though I was late. Larry had another thing to add. Talking about representing Gooser. Can you imagine the access to not only alcohol, but painkillers and all kinds of drugs and stimulants these congressmen have access to? More access than rock stars do. These Republicans are high as hell. The stanchions, well, that reminds me of my grandmother calling the couch the divan. She still called it the Divino up until her last breath. That's pronounced, I don't even know if I'm spelling it right, but Divino. Well, I heard it, I heard it from that, it was a divan. It wasn't a couch. On the sofa. It was a divan. Still not sure quite what a divan is. Lee wants to know, just to cut down on the waste of words, can we just call her M.T. Empty Green? It describes the contents of her skull. I will pass that along to the committee, and we will set it for further consideration. Yeah, right. And, of course, Marjorie Trader Green Cueball is a great aficionado of, her freedom protectors. And so we go to America's hinterlands. For the following. There in West Bath, Maine. At Maine, most New Englanders will tell you, is the West Virginia of New England. New Hampshire is the Alabama of New England, but Maine is the West Virginia. In West Bath, Maine, a toddler got hold of the freedom protector that was kept by the toddler's 25-year-old father and 22-year-old mother. New Meadows Road in West Bath, Maine is where it transpired, but a little before 8 o'clock in the morning yesterday. Sagadahoc County, Maine, where Sheriff Joel Mary told the press that, the little pumpkin picked up a pistol that was on the nightstand and shot his daddy in the head and then shot his mama in the leg, and the recoil of the gun banged the little toddler in the face. Somehow or another, and I have yet to figure this out, the toddler managed to not give a life-threatening injury when he shot his daddy in the head. Sheriff Joel Mary said that all three are now safe. Yeah, where, Sheriff, where? Because this is the... when you just kind of leave your freedom protector laying around on the nightstand and your two-year-old gets hold of it, nothing in here to say, I didn't see in the reporting, what sort of pistol it was. But, I mean, if it was a revolver, there's, in the cylinder. If it's a semi-automatic, though, which is far more prevalent these days, then it had to be left with a round racked in the chamber, and maybe it was one of those that doesn't have a safety on it. You know, them safeties, they keep you from defending freedom when you got to really protect freedom right then, right there. All three are now safe. The child should be safe. That should be the first priority, making the child safe. A two-year-old cannot form the intent necessary to actually want to shoot daddy in the head and mommy in the leg. They also had a 3-week-old baby who was present in the room when the toddler did the shooting. The wee baby, the little one, has been given to his grandma. Okay, that sounds like a start. No, Grandma lives in the same house. But Grandma wasn't there at the time the shooting went down. The press wanted to know just exactly how it all happened. And Sheriff Mary said, The question of how the boy was able to pick up and fire the weapon is of great concern and is being investigated. This situation, while disturbing, could have had an even more tragic ending. Pepperidge Farm remembers. We're thankful that the injuries were not more suspicious. So you have to go way down. No, it was a 9mm semi-automatic, so we don't have the revolver excuse. 2 years old. Nope. And even in Maine, people are in the community are a little bit what the fuck about it all. The news article in The Independent says, Matt Farrell said, I know people want to stay protected and safe in their homes, but what happened here is really the opposite of that. And then there's Robin Buskowski, who said, a parent should know better than to leave a loaded gun anywhere near the child and get to it. For whatever reason, that did not happen in this particular case. And I'm scrolling, and I'm scrolling, and I'm scrolling, and I'm scrolling, and I'm all the way at the end of the article, and nope, no charges for child endangerment. Well, the injuries to the 2-year-old's face weren't particularly severe. That's where we are. Parents just leave their freedom protectors laying around. I mean, this is the very definition of negligent child care, and the children haven't been removed from the home. There are places in the world that, well, never mind. It's Merca, and we don't want to offend the firearm. Because it ain't the firearm's fault. It's the 2-year-old's fault. No, it's not the 2-year-old's fault. Well, it can't be the mommy and the daddy's fault because they were just good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist Americans defending freedom with their 9mm freedom protector. Yeah, that's smarts. Oh, bless his little heart. He's gonna, yeah, because daddy's still alive after being shot in the head. I'll tell you what, that young and he's... When he gets a little bit older, I'm going to teach you how to really handle a weapon. Nothing. Sheriff Mary, will any charges for child endangerment be filed against him? Well, you know, I don't think we need to do the wrong accent. But really, the accent fits there, doesn't it? I don't think we need to do anything so rash as that. I mean, accidents happen. Yeah, damn straight accidents happen. A lot of accidents. 1.7 million children in the U.S. live with unlocked loaded guns. That's one fact that comes out of this. And in addition, back in 2018... which is about the latest we have numbers for. 4,775 young people between the ages of 10 and 24 were victims of homicide. That works out in the new 90 states of America, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe under God, to be about 13 child or young deaths per day. That's 10 to 24. One out of three homes that have little children in them also have guns. That comes from Children's Hospital of Philadelphia and a study that they did. Thanks to our pal, Texas T, for that. Great God Almighty. But, you know, it's America, and we value guns more than we value children being able to grow up. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, by the way, to our pal Kevin in Massachusetts. Kevin just jumped in, and let's see, where does that take us? All right, down to 8:20 to get even with the week. I'll get even with you. No, that, thank you very kindly, Kevin. Thank you. The caucuses that Paul Gooser belongs to, just a few of them, Steve serving as the ad hoc research department member this evening. The coal caucus, well, I know, the Congressional Algae Caucus, the Congressional Caucus on Prescription Drug Abuse, the goddess of irony never sleeps, the Congressional Shellfish Caucus, because, you know, he's from Arizona, where they have a bunch of shellfish, the Congressional Wine Caucus, aha, and the Specialty Crop Caucus, as Steve notes, specialty crops, I wonder if it smells like skunks over there in representing Gusar's office. Meanwhile, Ralphs lets me know that somebody's come up with a new mascot for the GOP. Ralphs says, I think it's brilliant. rather than an elephant, it's a jellyfish. Spineless, brainless, heartless, cannibalizes other jellyfish and excretes through its mouth. Wow, that's good. That's just good. Oh, and speaking of maggots, like, oh, say, representing Gooser, Agnes hit me to a story that just kind of spoke to me. You know, all over Mary Oldie Engeland, there are figures that are carved into the earth and then filled with chalk. So they're these white, big, humongous white line drawings. And via the Smithsonian, we now have the answer to when one of those line drawings was made. And by way of explanation, or explication, remember the story a few weeks back when Marjorie Trader Green Cucumber and Matt Gaetz, it just Gaetz better. Remember when they were going to, they got called out early because they were going to found the, what was it, the Anglo-Saxon Caucus? Or the what was it, the America First Caucus or something like that, and their foundational statement said that they we needed to preserve our unique our unique Anglo-Saxon cultural and political heritage. Well, in Mary Oldie Engeland. And this was from SmithsonianMag.com. There's a story about a pictograph at CERN Abbas, and it's called the CERN Abbas Giant. And it's a huge thing. It's visible from the other hillside. It's visible from the air. And it's part of, it's now part of England's, it's one of England's national historical treasures. It's protected by the National Trust. And periodically the National Trust goes, and because the way it was done, it was all cut out of, carved a trench into the ground and then filled it in with chalk. And so this particular, it's huge. And up until recently, nobody knew when it was made. They thought it may have been pre-Roman, you know, Stone Age stuff, or that it might have been some sort of, I don't know, Renaissance prank pulled by Francis Bacon or something like that. But archaeologists dug down to the very base of it, and through rigorous scientific testing were able to determine that the material at the base of the carving into the ground had not seen sunlight for 1,000 years. So, no, it's not pre-medieval. It's not post-medieval. It is, in fact, medieval. And this, and it answers a question of some long-standing. And so when we say that it's medieval, what we're saying is that, in fact, it was made by Anglo-Saxon peoples, because it's in Dorset. 180 feet, not really tall, because it's not a three-dimensional figure standing up. It's 180 feet long. And it looks really primitive. It's a line drawing. There are three lines to show the ribs. There are two circles to show the man nipples. Little round head. And the giant is carrying a club that looks like it's got studs on it. But the most, well, I suppose for some folks, shocking aspect of the Cernabis giant is the schlong. It's got a big, erect schlong. Because, you know, the English, being proper and decent people, don't call it the big dick giant. It's the Cernabis giant. Not abbess, as in the nun who runs a, no, it's not A-B, not E-S-S, it's A-B-B-A-S. And it was eventually grown over, and nobody knew it was there, but then it was rediscovered. But I couldn't help but laugh, because this is part of that unique political and cultural heritage of our Anglo-Saxon heritage that Marjorie Trader Green Cueball and Matt Gaetz wanted to preserve. And maybe that explains Matt Gaetz's interest. Or given the fact that she was noted as being a bit of a wild and kinky lady, maybe it explains Marjorie Trader Green Cucumber's fascination with our unique cultural and political Anglo-Saxon heritage. Mm-hmm. So it was made between 700 and 1100 AD. You know, there's another one. It's a big horse. There's a big horse in England, but that's the only one with a giant Schwanstucker. Oh, God. Anglo-Saxon heritage. Kommen Sie on and let's make into schlong. Yeah. Apropos of not particularly anything, but I just felt like it needed to be shared. Because that's just fun. Oh, and by the way, this is, of course, a conversation radio program. We've had fantastic conversations this week. It was particularly good on Tuesday, Monday. If you've got something you would like to that you'd like to bring to the discussion, well, welcome. Easy to reach the program via Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. Still haven't changed it. And 304-574-8178. That gets you into. Or the stress line, 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. Responding to Larry's note about AOC, more than a little aggravated, Darlene in Connecticut says, about the last comment that you read from a listener, and that was Larry. Why is this suddenly AOC's problem? Why is she obligated to debate this certifiable harasser? See you next Tuesday, Marjorie Taylor Queen. Under what goddamn conditions, what rules, under what debate moderator, fucking Fox News, Newsmax, and for what end? For a representative seat, a Senate seat, for president, they're different goddamn states, for Christ's sakes. Rules for debate are already set up in the House of Representatives. That disgusting Marjorie Taylor Gangrene needs to fucking follow them. And Nancy thinks what happened may rise to the level of an ethics investigation? May? Seriously? And she admitted that she keeps her speaker's office separated from those referrals? Really? This is the second time AOC has been accosted and harassed by Republican members of Congress. You think it might be time for Nancy to step in? AOC's a member of her party, for Christ's sakes. And don't get me started on Nancy's pathetic response to a reporter's question on what's going on with the Israelis and Palestinians and the pathetic lack of pushback from the press corps. Today was not Nancy's finest presser, if you ask me. No, it wasn't. And Israel has now sent ground troops in. This will not end well. The people with the finest, most lethal weapons on earth up against people with rocks. It's almost like the Samson and Goliath, or David and, oh, come on. David and, was it Goliath? Yeah. Why did I say Samson? That's the cartoon. David and Goliath thing has been turned on its head. Once upon a time, he was the little dude with rocks against the most well-armed military in the world. You'd think that might serve as a... Nah. But, yeah, see, the reason, and I think it's because she's so much... Oh, you don't know shit about economics! That was another one of those things that Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cucumber grunted. Yeah, no, she's got awards and shit. AOC does. But then again, Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cucumber has awards too. I mean, maybe it was the number of squats she did at her gym or whatever. Not that I'm taking anything away from working out at a gym. I'm started on a health program and really sore today, but it's a good kind of sore. No, the reason she didn't turn around and confront her is because there was video rolling. And and she certainly didn't want to participate, I'm quite certain, in some fundraising video for Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cucumber. As Fred Gutenberg put it, can we all agree that Marjorie Taylor Greene is not well? In fact, I would describe her as mentally unfit. Based upon her antics and actions around others, it's clear why she opposes red flag laws or extreme risk protection orders. Remember, Fred Gutenberg lost a beloved daughter in the slaughter in Parkland, Florida. Thank you for that, David in South Carolina, Stan. AOC tweeted, friendly reminder to keep generously tipping your bartenders, servers, delivery venue, and hospitality workers. Manu Raju noted, AOC says of Marjorie Trader Gangrene, I used to work as a bartender. These are the kinds of people that I threw out of bars all the time. Ooh, little allegation that Marge may be tippling a little bit. Yeah. And going back to the Cernabas giant, Ralphs points out, maybe that's why Marjorie's such good friends with Matt. Well, you know, she wasn't real choosy there in the gym. I mean, not saying, just saying. I don't want to make this a sexual or a gender thing, but the news is the news. Why? Well, because they can fundraise on a... Yeah, I sure showed that AOC what for what. Yeah, she's an idiot. Let's see. Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cucumber is a proud daughter of the University of Georgia, whereas I think AOC is from Boston U. One of them won an award in, what, economics? The other one didn't. Care to guess which was which? Yeah, I know. I know. You'll have that. And let's pop over to the Skype line and check in. Is that you, Flavio?
That's me. How are you doing?
I'm good. You?
Good. My knees are no longer on strike, and we've reached a tentative agreement. Contract has been signed, and you know, the strike is off.
You're said so. Your knees have set up shop stewards and that sort of thing.
Yeah. So there were productive contract agreements reached.
And so when you reach over to pick up the carton of ice cream out of the grocery, the shop steward yells, or the business agent yells, no.
Exactly. So, the knees really definitely brought management to heel. For sure. Damn.
Well, I know a little because starting yesterday, I have embarked on a program to shed about 25 pounds, build some muscle mass, and because I'm really disgusted with myself for letting my A1C my A1C get to where it is, and got to knock those lipids back down, and so I got put through my paces, and then today just followed up and went in and did 3 miles on the treadmill, and everything is sore in a very, very good way.
Oh, that's very nice. So Saturday I go in for my second Pfizer shot, so hopefully I won't be knocked out too badly by the second one.
Well, how'd the first one treat you?
Nothing happened. Maybe a little soreness on the where I got the shot. No headache, nothing.
Beautiful. If you can, do try it just because. No science behind it, just anecdote. When you get your second, try to get it in the other arm.
No, I don't want my... why on the other arm?
Don't know. Like I said, it's just anecdotal. People reporting fewer negative responses when they get it in the other arm.
Man, I'm worried, though, because my dominant arm is my right arm, and I'm not very good with my left arm.
Well, so what? You got it in your left arm first?
Yeah.
Yeah, so did I. And then I got it in my right arm, and nothing. My left arm got sore as hell. My right arm was groovy.
All right.
And in both instances, I never even felt the needle go in. And I'm one of those weirdos. I actually sit there and watch the needle go in. I was like, wow, I don't even feel that. Really fine needle.
It is. It really is. It's amazing. No, my worry is that they give me saline solution, you know, because of this Christian evangelical freaks.
Well, that's happened.
You know.
That's happened. And then, further unintentional evidence of not being particularly dangerous. Saw a news story. Agnes alerted me to it. Out of Italy, a nurse accidentally administered 6 doses of the Pfizer.
I read about that. Oh my God! They had to keep the woman over for 24 hours surveillance to make sure that she's gonna be all right.
Yeah, but she didn't even break a sweat. I mean, that's just good. That's just prudent medicine. But she was fine. No big deal.
She's still gonna get her second shot? I guess not.
Well, no. I think she probably has to because it's the build up and then the reinforcement, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. That's true. But I did hear about the Gatorade. It's a good idea to rehydrate before and.
Yeah,
after.
You know, don't upend a bottle of cachaca or anything before you go get it. That might be a little rough.
It's cachaça.
Cachaça. Okay.
cachaça. The cecadil.
You know me in Portuguese. I don't know how to pronounce anything in Portuguese.
The cecadil is like a sa in French. Sa?
Oh, okay, okay.
Ça va?
I never noticed that little gizmo.
Yeah, that little bump on the C, that's a cedille. And it's like the same as the French ça va. It just makes the C soft.
Okay.
Just makes the C soft. Now, in the Slavic languages, that makes it chut. So you see the little upside-down hat on the C and I'm, you know, on Tchaikovsky, you know, okay, yeah. That's just telling you that C is going to be a ch, you know. But, no, I was listening to your Filthy Morning Habit. I listened to it on, TuneIn Radio? I don't even have the video. I just listened, you know, because I don't subscribe to cable or anything. I already have internet. I figure I'm not going to pay for it.
Sure.
Extra cable, you know, are you kidding? So I do listen to, you know, MSNBC, the MSNBC stream audio only. And Mika was going on about bold-faced lie. And I'm like, no.
No. And it crawls all over you like ants, doesn't it?
It does, and I was like, maybe she thinks it's a, you know, I know there's bold face, that's a typographical reference.
Yeah, that's typesetting, yes.
Bold face, that's a typesetting, bold face, okay. But, you know, I've never heard of a bold face lie. Is it on a pamphlet?
Wait a minute.
Is it printed?
Oh, the art of word knowing is so much fun.
Is it printed on?
Do they use parchment?
Glossy paper.
Is there a sheep's stomach involved?
Yeah, exactly. I'm just like, God. So I, you know, and this is laziness. These people are lazy. You can look the shit up.
Well, you can, but I think there's a...
No, they just repeat what everybody else says. If someone says bold face, everybody else says bold face.
Well, no, I think there's a little bit of Dunning-Kruger effect tucked away in there. And I'm probably guilty of it, too. I think we all have a touch of Dunning-Kruger, where you don't know what you don't know. By virtue of privileged incuriousness, Morning Mika says bold-faced because she's sure that it's bold-faced.
Well, she never bothered to pick
and up it ain't worth looking up because, you know, they don't pay her to look up shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if the producer in her ear says, Mika, that's bald-faced, well, the producer won't be there the next day.
Yeah, that means arrogant. That means, you know.
But she doesn't know what she doesn't know. And neither does Joe.
No.
Millionaires don't need to know that kind of thing.
No. But, you know, even me looking it up, maybe I
did the same thing. I went and checked.
Because I only ever heard bald-faced. You know,
it is a face
without the D at the end. Bold face, as in a type of type, you know, bold.
No, but
face.
A bald faced lie is a visual cue, if you will. I mean, it's a metaphor, of course.
You know, it means an unalloyed lie. It means.
You just sit there and look somebody straight in the eye and say, Donald Trump is still the president of the United States. That's a bald-faced lie.
That's a bald-faced lie, and it just means unalloyed lying. It just means you're
there's
lying
no artifice involved.
There's no artifice involved. It's a plain, bald-faced.
Yeah, there's no nudge, there's no wink.
Unadorned lie.
Yeah.
And, oh, yeah, the other thing, I was mentioning that you'll be glad to know that the United States' nuclear submarines run on Red Hat's Linux Enterprise. What I meant, it's owned by Oracle, so it's a proprietary software.
Yeah, and Oracle is owned by?
Oracle?
Yeah, run by?
No.
One Lawrence Ellison. And he's a big-time maggot.
Mm.
So sleep tight tonight, America.
Mm. No, but, I mean, the nuclear submarines are not run on Microsoft Windows. They're run on Unix, on a Unix platform. And Unix, like, you know, Berkeley, California Unix,
mm-hmm.
Linux, those platforms are safer. Red Hat, I think it's owned by Oracle.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Or maybe actually, or maybe Novell. Maybe I'm
no,
wrong.
It's Oracle. It's Oracle. I looked it up.
It is. But wow. Hmm. But the selling point was that it's proprietary and it's not Microsoft. And there is something to be said about Unix-based systems. You can't open an executable and have it go run havoc in your system because...
Well, see, and that's the suspicion I have, for instance, about the software surrounding the Colonial Pipeline. Hydrocarbon companies are notoriously cheap. They are in it for the money. So I'm guessing. I'm guessing the Colonial Pipeline was running on what? MS
Windows XP.
I was thinking more like Windows for warehouses.
Or DOS.
Yeah, MS DOS 2.1.
Yeah, something like that. You don't know. I mean, they're, you know.
And the techs are sitting in there playing, playing Zork.
Exactly. And that was the point that I was trying to make. And generally speaking, after OS X, Apple switched to a Unix-based operating system. So everything from OS X on, Apple OS X, is Unix, and it's safer. It's so much safer than.
I gotta admit, the new iMacs are pretty.
They are.
I don't know if they're any better, but they're pretty.
But they're running on a Unix-based platform, which is Berkeley Unix, and public funding, public research, and.
And for the life of me, I still can't. I made a couple of forays into trying to use Linux, and it was just a lost cause.
It must have been back then, because now it's the easiest thing. I mean, they make
it's
easy.
It's useless for me.
They make it easy nowadays. I remember, because I started with the regular old Red Hat, not Enterprise. Just home, user, and you had to, write your own scripts and shit, and you had to write your own firewall. I mean, they gave you instructions and everything, but you had to like follow the instructions to write your own firewall, so you what you wanted incoming, outgoing, and that was interesting. At least it was a learning thing, but I had the patience. Nowadays, pretty much everything comes out of the box working. You don't have to dick around with much of anything.
Wait, you get a box? It comes with a box?
it doesn't even come in a box. But it works right out of the, it's a matter of speaking. So it works right out of the box, and... But yeah. No, what I wanted to ask you was, wow, isn't that scary, having to work with all those traitors in one place? I mean, it's got to be scary. How many people are in the House of Representatives? How many of those are traitors? You know.
Well, it's every Republican minus Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney? Isn't that basically how it works out?
Cheney's in the House of Representatives.
Liz Cheney?
Well,
yeah.
Wasn't there 10 that voted?
Thereabouts. It is a minuscule number.
But imagine what it's... I mean, they don't pay those people enough to work with somebody like Ted Cruz.
Well, that's the Senate, but... And it's even worse over there. You got maybe Lisa Murkowski. And again, this goes back to what I was talking about last night, Flavio. When you're down to calling Bishop Willard Romney a hero for just not... I mean, when the bar is that low that not committing treason makes you an American hero...
That's something. That's
a commentary on our times.
That's frightening. But have you really? I mean, I know you have, but have people actually thought what it must be to have to work alongside those people every day, day in, day out, knowing that there's no good faith on that side,
and knowing that for the most, here's another thing that you might not know if you don't. And I don't think it's changed. If you've got your little "I'm a member of the House of Representing" button, and you walk in the front door of the Cannon or Longworth or Rayburn House office buildings, well, while all the rubes are standing there going through the magnetometer and emptying their pockets and they're putting their purses on the conveyor belts and getting X-rayed and folded and spindled and mutilated, if you got your little "I'm a member of the House of Representing" button, you just kind of loop around and don't go through the magnetometer. Now, there's a magnetometer that you have to go through as you go into the actual House chamber after January the 6th, and that's why people like Louis Asparagus Gohmert got his pay docked, because he walked around the magnetometer. But to my knowledge, they still get to walk around the magnetometer going into the building. So if you're walking, and I mean, I take this shit into consideration, okay? This is something that matters to me. I mean, there's Capitol Police all over the place, and they're all gunned up and everything. But those buildings are full, well, not full, but there is some number that is greater than zero of Republican members of Congress packing heat inside the halls of the office buildings, Flavio. So, yeah, it won't be long, I suspect, before Clanny Oakley, Lauren Bobblehead Boebert, and Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cuball are carrying AR-15s in the halls. And the dumb bastards... they will, you know... They'll take it to the Supreme Court, and there's six people, five at least, sitting on the Supreme Court going, "Hell yeah, you're a member of Congress. You done gotten elected. Of course you get to carry a gun in the halls of the office buildings of the Congress." Does that freak you out a little bit?
Oh, a lot. And, now they're... suppressing the vote, nakedly suppressing the vote everywhere.
Please, let's not have Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cucumber and the word "naked" in the same paragraph or conversation, Flavio. I don't ask much on this program. That was a joke.
Bald facedly.
I mean, I want to hone in on the real issues, Flavio.
Yeah.
Does that one make your skin crawl too?
Yeah.
Hone in.
Yeah, no, I don't
want to. See, out there in the back 40 of the mansion here, I got a whole bunch of cages, and they've got honing pigeons in them.
I thought I heard hone in.
You did. We're working a bit here, Flavio. Work with me, son. Work with me.
And I thought hone.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big thing. If you, because that crawls all over me like ants too. Oh, we're going to hone in on the issue, and I just got a picture of some Republican or what? Or you? No, actually, usually it's one of those wet behind the ears children who are on the TV now. And I got a picture of him with a you know, a little penknife sitting in a rocking chair on the courthouse porch, you know, honing in. I'm going to hone in on the issue. You know, got a little twig, and I'm honing it.
Exactly.
I'm going to get out a little rock and hone the blade of my penknife so I can get back to honing the issues.
Yeah, and there's a little cylinder on the pigeon, and there's a message inside, and probably in Russian, so you couldn't read it.
Greetings, tovarich. До свидания.
I tried the Cyrillic alphabet. It's really homely. I kind of prefer the Latin alphabet myself. And the Cyrillic alphabet's kind of an ugly Greek alphabet. It's got no.
Well, it's a Greek alphabet. It's a Greek alphabet with a few grunts added.
Yeah. It's
ooh, that was pretty bitchy on my part, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah, but accurate. But that is, that has got to be scary, having to wake up and go to work. That's the definition of a hostile working environment.
Yeah, it is. And of course, the rules for the rest of us do not apply to the Congress of the United States. What Darlene, Darlene, there was a lot behind what Darlene wrote a little bit ago, Flavio, because when you consider that two freshman members of the House are neighbors in one of the House office buildings, and Marjorie Traitor Green, Gangrene Cucumber's staff was grunting and hooting and barking and coughing and hacking all over. Representative, what is her name? Bush, I think.
Cori Bush.
Yeah, Cori Bush.
Missouri.
Yeah,
Missouri.
Right. And so she got moved. Cori Bush got moved. There was no punishment for Marjorie Traitor Green Cucumber.
No, running
the black lady out of the neighborhood.
You remember my question was why the fuck does she have to
precisely
move?
My point.
Why the fuck does she have to move? What the fuck? That was my question at the time. I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah. I mean, there are some really dicey, skeevy basement offices that you get if you have absolutely no seniority on move-in day. Why not just put Marjorie Traitor Green Gangrene Cucumber down there?
Yeah.
You know, you can add sound effects of, the door opening and stuff like that.
Exactly.
You can add some reverb, some echo. Marjorie, it's time to go to the House chambers. Yes, Q, yes.
That's the thing. Will this country make it out alive? I mean, everybody, I know a lot of people are relieved Joe Biden was elected.
Oh, not everybody. I just happen to have the story right here.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
I was talking to my little sister in Ann Arbor, well, Celine, which is just outside of Ann Arbor. And she said that a friend of her described, and I thought this is a wonderful description, that it was like a fire alarm had been going on. No, not a fire alarm. A car alarm had been going on. You know how when, at the car park, a fire car alarm goes off and it can go off for an hour or so.
Until the battery dies.
Until the battery dies, and everybody's, like, relieved when it finally is off, you know. And that's what this thing, 4 years of Trump, and then everybody was relieved that, you know, the freaking car alarm is off. But the alarm is still on. That's the thing. It's still on. People just don't get it. People don't realize the alarm is still on. It's not. It hasn't gone off. I mean,
Become numb to it.
You just become numb to it. You know, it's a relief that Biden, but it shouldn't be, because the alarm is still going. Maybe the volume is a little lower, but I don't even know if that metaphor works. You know?
Yeah. Maybe
2022 is tomorrow.
Yeah, it is. Well, maybe there's another way of describing it, since we're just, you know, at play in the fields of metaphor or simile. They say that people who go to work in slaughterhouses,
mm-hmm.
initially they're taken aback by the shrieking of the animals. After a while, they don't hear the shrieking anymore. And I think maybe that's part of what's happened and happening to us. But yay, we won! Everything's okay, only it's not.
Yeah, everything's great. Yeah. They're just cooking up in 43 states. They're legislating the vote away.
Yeah. Or the fact that... to get back, just to talk about living in unreality, you know this L. Lynn Wood, this crackpot lawyer from Georgia,
the pettifogger,
of the first blush. Well, what, a week or two ago, he was saying that I went looking around the White House and I couldn't find Joe Biden nowhere. Nope, not in the Oval Office. Nope, Joe Biden's not in the White House. Joe Biden's not real. Joe Biden's not really president. Donald Trump's still president. Well, now he's taken it to the next level. He went to an event in where else? South Carolina. Because he's trying to become the next South Carolina Republican Party chair. And speaking to the assembled faithful there, he said, he won the election. Donald J. Trump is still the guy the military will call for the code if they need a first strike. Joe Biden's not the president of the United States. At which point, compare this with way, 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 way back in 2008 when John McCain and the guy that he referred to as that one were debating, and the woman stood up and said, yeah, but he's a Muslim. And John McCain replied, no, ma'am, he's a patriotic American, which was shitty in the first place because it implied that you cannot be Muslim and a good American, but we'll leave that alone for the moment. No, ma'am, he's a good American. Well, so L. Lynn Wood says he's still the guy the military is going to call for a first strike. Donald Trump's still the president of the United States. And so a woman in the traitorous, treasonous South Carolina crowd said, hey, man, why can't somebody stop it? This is driving me crazy. Why don't somebody do something?
Well.
And so over on my filthy morning habit, you know, lo and behold, they're still scratching their heads trying to understand. And I had the clip last night from Scarborough saying, yeah, no, if there was another election tomorrow, he'd still get 75 million votes. Because there's something so pleasant, there's something so appealing, there is something so satisfying in the racist, bigot soul, Flavio. To have someone who will validate your racism, validate your bigotry, validate your phobias, and make your phobias his, and his in return become yours.
Yeah. And there's no chance. There really is no chance because he can just threaten. He can just threaten the Republicans if they get out of line. He can just threaten them by primarying them, or it's just so unimaginable. I mean, just horrible that, you know, there's not anybody with a spine to say, yeah, fuck, yeah, go ahead, primary me, but I'm, you know, I don't care. But I'm going to go out with my conscience with.
Well, I mean, that's basically what, and you know, again, I refuse to lionize her, but Liz Cheney said, you know, yeah, I'm running again. Hell no, I'm not going to quit. I'm running again, and I'm not afraid of these. Whatever she said, and the same thing this morning with Adam Kinzinger. Primary me. I'll get out and campaign.
But nobody, you know, it's just so creepy because, you know, right after the insurrection, you know, Lindsay goes, I'm out of here. I'm done. I've had it with this shit. And then and McConnell goes and, you know, excoriates, you know, Trump on the floor of the well of the Senate. You know, he did it. He caused it. McCarthy. And then the next day they're like,
what?
What the hell? The next day they're like denying it, and
well, it's because, you know, they got the political equivalent of a horse's head in their bed. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
But see, I'm trying hard not to give her much credit, but Liz Cheney does understand something, Flavio. She knows what's going to happen in Wyoming. There's going to be a bunch of barking, hooting, grunting maggots who all file to run against her because they're not. They all are going to. They know they have hit the gravy train. If they can get Nitwit Nero's endorsement, because then those sweet, sweet maggot dollars will begin to flow, and so they will be hell among the yearlings primarying Liz Cheney, and Liz Cheney can win. You know, if there's five or six maggots versus Lynn Cheney, or Liz Cheney, guess who wins? Liz Cheney wins, because they're not going to be organized enough to coalesce around a single a candidate to challenge her. You follow what I'm saying?
Okay, okay.
And so she will then be the Republican nominee, and she will be returned to Congress. I mean, for starters, it's Wyoming. The population density of Wyoming is not
0. Something.
You know, it's like one human being per 1,000 cows.
Yeah.
And so she knows that in the primary, will not be well attended. And she and her money can get the old guard out, while the maggots bark and grunt amongst themselves, and she laughs all the way to the bank.
That's her, but
same. But Adam, the same thing anywhere, because the first thing
Adam
you have to do is
your...
yeah, him too. Because the first thing you have to do is secure Nitwit Nero's endorsement. And in order to do that, you have to participate in his reality show.
There are too many people doing that already.
Right.
That's the scary part.
And so incumbent maggots will hold off a maggot challenge, but, you know, the not maggot caucus of the Republican Party, whatever it is, 10, they most of them have been there for a while, and they know how to count votes.
I mean, do we have a chance at all to take back this? I mean, to get more senators in the Senate?
Yes, we do. We absolutely, because they have to defend twice as many seats as we do. Now, they're defending seats in some fairly safe states or deemed as such. And it's all a matter of how hard, how rough a war somebody like Chuck Schumer wants to wage. I mean, Rand Paul and his that thing on his head are going to be up.
God, that'd be great to get rid of that.
But look at the data, the weird ass data coming out of Kentucky in the last election, where all of a sudden Mitch McConnell won a county he had never won before.
Yeah, and then there's the thing. I don't know how Amy McGrath was supposed to go against McConnell.
Amy McGrath's campaign was a conventional wisdom campaign, where she runs as a moderate Democrat, and you know, just like the woman who ran against him before, you see the same outcome. Offered the choice between a real live, honest to God Republican and a Republican light.
People always go with the Republican.
They'll always go with the real deal.
Yeah.
And Steve in New York has a note for you. Oh, dear, dear Flavio. Remember something. These people aren't afraid of Trump. They aren't cowards. They like what Trump is doing. The money spigot to the GOP is off the charts. For any candidate, it'll be off the charts. Hell, Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cucumber raised $3.2 million in the first reporting quarter alone.
I saw that. That was sickening. That was...
She's a darling. She's a hero to him. She tells it like it is, and she ain't gonna take no shit from that liberal coastal elitist communist socialist Rosicrucian Bilderberger Illuminati Amway saleswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
And we don't do much to shake off that impression, do we? That we're coastal elites, or I mean, how do you feel about that?
I live in a landlocked state, Flavio. I don't feel too terribly coastal, although I am a hillbilly elitist. But I'm only a hillbilly. But the definition of hillbilly elitist is, you know, a hillbilly who knows which spoon to use with the brown beans.
I'm just saying that when I look at that,
I mean, look at you. You speak 16 languages. You're an elitist.
Five.
I'm just trying to build your street cred as an elitist a little bit, Flavio. Damn it.
Sorry,
work with me.
Sorry, but no, I'm just saying. My native Portuguese, English, French, Spanish, and Italian. That's pretty much within the Western language. I mean, at least
I understand.
I don't speak Russian.
Let me just get a message out there real quick. Steve in New York is trying to reach the program. Steve, please, if you don't mind, because it's just this, I don't have a room going or anything. Steve, call in on the stress line, 844-843-4676, and we'll get you into the conversation. 844-843-4676.
I was just saying that I'm really worried about the Democrats losing the House and not getting enough in the Senate. And I don't know. What are we doing What are we doing about the voter suppression? It seems like all these state legislatures have so much power. And, well, you said the other day the John Lewis Act died. Or
well, no.
Which one?
Basically, Joe Manchin said that he will not support the For the People Act. Because it is H.R. 1. It is more comprehensive than the John Lewis Act. But he said that he does support some sort of watered-down voting rights legislation.
This is terrifying. I mean, I still am relieved that we have such a competent person in the White House. I mean, I love the people that he surrounded himself with.
Mostly, I think there was a bit of a miscue. Although
the ambassador to Japan thing with Rahm Emanuel. That's a bit much, but you know, Emanuel's going to.
Well, you know, Rahm's out of work.
Yeah, you know, they might have been friends, you know, back in the day, and then.
Well, Rahm Emanuel is powerful in democratic machine politics.
Yeah, and you know, you got to pay the favor, and you know that Joe probably really does owe a favor or something. Or
God, I'd love to be ambassador to Japan. I mean, I'm sure there's a bit of drama involved, especially with China the way it is now. But that the culture, that history, is fascinating.
Yeah, it is. But I mean, what do you think was the? What do you think was the rationale behind appointing Rahm Emanuel to Japan, or is it just Rahm Emanuel's power
it's power. I mean, he delivers something, and it's a significant enough posting. I mean, if it was, you'll notice he's not the ambassador to Israel.
That would go over well, wouldn't it?
Well, I...
would go over real well. Oh, yeah. Oof. Talk about the conspiracy theorists then. They'd be off the charts.
Well, I remember when he was named Obama's chief of staff. And his dad bragged, you know, it's not like he's washing the floor. It's not like he's some Arab.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, I just can't forget that.
Yeah, exactly. No, but I mean, but what was the rationale, though, for him? I mean, I don't think he can, honestly, I don't think he can do that much damage, can he?
In a formal culture like Japan?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know, maybe his dad's not around anymore. But, you know, Rahm's an asshole. And so maybe this is a sign to China, not so much Japan, but a sign to China that, you know, we'll send an asshole to Japan, and that's an asshole that's closer to you than he is to Washington, D.C. Maybe that's the rationale.
Maybe that's the rationale, yeah. Maybe it's like, hey, just be thankful we sent him to Japan.
Hey, Japan's further from D.C. than Greenland.
Yep. Maybe that's it. Maybe.
And issues surrounding Israel don't play. You know, it's not a real big deal. In Japan.
No.
And maybe the fact that he doesn't have an axe to grind, because the relationship between Japan and Korea is always so complex. For a variety of reasons, almost entirely the fault
about
of Japan.
Women.
Yeah, well, I mean, Japan, and you know, long before the Second World War, Japan's been invading Korea for a while. I mean, hundreds of years ago, occupying and brutality. Maybe having an asshole over there would help in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, I do think Joe Biden is thoughtful in his choice of people to.
Yeah, but all these, but Flavio, all of these things are functions of recommendations made to Joe Biden. He's not sitting up nights pondering, you know. Somebody's saying, okay, we got to, because this is what didn't happen with Trump. You remember the list of appointments that were not made in the Trump regime because they were just such a bunch of fuck-ups that nobody knew that those people needed to be appointed?
Mm.
So, you know, they had, they're on the ball. They're getting the job done. And there's a limited talent pool of known, reasonably trustworthy people you can put in jobs that you can trust won't fuck up. You know, because Rahm's been, you know, Rahm's been around since the Clinton days.
Okay, yeah. And the Secretary of, Energy? Senator Jennifer Granholm?
Yep. Good one. Good choice, I thought.
I thought so, too. You know, but why, you know, this is why I think he knows a lot of these people.
Well, you know? Yeah, and the other part of it is that Rahm Emanuel is somebody you will never accuse of being anything but a Democratic Party partisan.
Right. And then the other thing I wanted to touch on.
Well, let me bring Steve into the conversation. You don't have to go.
No.
We're gonna.
Before I forget.
Yeah, go ahead.
Before I forget. You remember the other day I was listening to MSNBC on online. I listened to Stephanie Ruhle's program. When does that come on? 8 a.m.
If you're in, 9 Eastern.
9 Eastern. And she's going, and, you know, this is the colonial whatever pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
The ransomware thing, and I could not believe it. I had to pinch myself because she said, this, you know, despite what President Biden said, because President Biden, of course, is telling people, you know, don't panic, you know, there'll be enough, you know, gas to go around, and, you know, there'll be enough toilet paper to go around. And no, Stephanie Ruhle goes out there and say, despite what Biden says, go out and get gas. Prices are going to go up. She said that.
Oh, I know. And I suppose you've seen I presume you've seen the pictures of people filling plastic bags with gasoline and putting them in their car.
I mean, son of a bitch. Stephanie Ruhle, she said that.
She's got a little Republican streak. Remember, she was some sort of a trader for Deutsche Bank, not exactly the home of financial ethics.
Son of a bitch, she's like in, you know, she's sowing panic. That's what you just did. You said, despite what President Biden said, go out and get gas. Prices are going to go up. Just like that. Just like, did you hear the same thing? I don't know if you listened.
I know she said it.
But you know she said it. Was it reported on?
Briefly. I saw a couple of tweets.
My God, that's so irresponsible.
But it was, but it was, it, but hey, but Flavio, it was great for clicks.
It's the for-profit media. They don't give a shit.
It's all about the clicks.
Hey, Steve.
There's Steve.
Hey, how are you? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, got you great.
Good. Yeah. The thing about Stephanie Ruhle, I suspect she was probably long in oil futures. That's why.
Ooh.
Say that again? Yeah. I'm not hearing very well.
She was long in oil futures.
Ah, so she stands to gain from a panic
buy. Being facetious, and I'm joking and serious all at the same time. I just want to say a couple things, and I apologize if I'm talking, it's not too easy. My phone isn't the best where I am because the signal goes in and out.
Okay.
But I wanted to say something about Rahm Emanuel. The thing I don't like about him is this. You know, the Democratic establishment, the machine, used to be pro working class. It was very much about finding jobs and et cetera. He is just the opposite. That's one of my big objections with him. The other thing I wanted to talk about, what is that humming? Is that humming me?
No, I think that's Flavio's line.
Okay. The humming is probably the
air conditioner.
Not mine, but probably the building adjacent, which I have the windows open because my air conditioning is not on yet. So I have to listen to everybody else's nice air conditioning outside.
Ah,
okay. So, no, I was thinking about what is it about Democrats, lefties, whatever, who after the election, I guess, relaxed or are disengaging. And I don't like generalizing, but here's what it seems to me like. Those of us who are Democrats / on the left, politics is something we do. It's a part of our life. It's not our life. And, you know, there's been a lot of articles written, a lot of things written, and in particular, Thomas Frank, the What's the Matter with Kansas. If you actually read that book and what you see in there is that is just too loud. I'm sorry. I can't even hear myself.
Well, here, okay, so you talk and I'll pot Flavio down a hair.
Okay. What you see is what he showed was there is this, you had Republicans, you had people who were poor and working class who were into, you know, who were pro-life, they would take loans out. They would take second mortgages out on their homes to work in these movements to pay for, you know, door knocking and all that kind of stuff. We don't seem to have that. And I'm not sure why. But we don't seem to have that. And I'll be honest, you see what's going on in the House with Gosar and these crazy people. You know, I fear them more than I fear Trump. Trump's a clown. You know, Trump is the Keystone Cops, you know, the Keystone Cops as a bunch of Nazis. These other people know what they're doing. They know how to operate the levers of power. McCarthy and, you know, whatever you think about Jim Shorts Jordan, they know how to do it. And they're just, and you know, Trump doesn't actually stand, he doesn't have an ideology. Trump's ideology is Trump. And if he could gain power or make money by being a lefty, he'd have been a lefty. The problem is we don't.
But he knew where the marks were. He knew where the rubes were.
Yeah. I mean, remember what he said? I like the uneducated.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry to say it. It's not. I'm not being elitist. I'm not being whatever. But the fact is that there are more college educated people on the center left than there are on the center right.
Well, it's not even a matter of. I mean, I'm gonna dare to disagree with you for a moment, Steve. It's not even a matter of college educated. I live in a state with a lot of really, really smart people who weren't college educated. It is about being it's about being alert and attentive and not and I think quite possibly most importantly, not being prone to an authoritarian mindset where you will simply take and run with anything that anyone tells you because it aligns with your belief system.
You know, there's one word. Let's let
Flavio jump in because he just said he wanted to say something. Okay, stand by.
Just a second.
Right ahead.
I'm afraid that people are misunderstimating Trump to their detriment because I think that he's an evil SOB. He is an evil organist, and he knows what pedals. He knows what stops the pull on the organ. He really does.
I don't think he's smart enough to beat people. I don't think he's.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying. Anybody that underestimates him doesn't understand this guy. Everybody thought. You know, Hitler couldn't. You know. He's got enough help, and don't give me this. Oh, the college, you know, the college educated. There are college educated people that voted for him.
Well, that's true too. That's absolutely true.
And because they're moral midgets. They are racist. I had students. Middle-aged Italian students that I taught, okay? We're talking people in their 50s, 60s, who voted for him, who hated Obama, you know. But, you know, I know their vote for Trump is purely utilitarian because it helps their, you know, their investments or their retirement, or you know, that's the only thing that they look at. They don't, you know, they don't care about. They certainly don't care about the colored people. You know, they don't care about that because they got it's idem fool all the way.
I got mine.
You
fuck
get
you.
That? You got that? It's idem fool all the way with these people, and anything that gets in the way of that is a threat, and that's the way they think. They have no qualms about voting for somebody as awful as Trump, and Trump is ready to oblige him because Trump is like them. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I don't. First of all, I was going to say, Robin, the one word that describes what you were describing as people who are, you know, who don't take things, it's called skeptical. You know, it's and skeptical, being a skeptic isn't a bad thing. It's not simply, I don't believe you. It's I need to find that out for myself. That's all it is. The other thing too is I don't think Trump is smart enough to be evil. Hitler and I'm reading a very long book, 700 pages about, I'm reading about his time from 1939, 1945. I don't have the time from his birth up until 1939 yet. But he had an ideology. He had, Hitler was not about Hitler. So, you know, he could get people around him who believed or who bought the ideology. They bought the rhetoric. The people I think around Trump don't think there is no rhetoric. There's a few words. I mean, think of the, you know, his 10 vocabulary words, but it still comes down to him. And he's not loyal. You see what he does. He sells people up the river. There is no loyalty because there's nothing to be loyal to, because it's a cult of personality. It's not a cult of ideology. So I don't think that those people, I hate saying that term, but the people who buy into him, his whatever his thing is, but I think it has a lot to do more with the funny thing is, he is, and whether he even sees it or he sees it or not, he's really the bigger pawn here. They're using him, I think, much more than he uses them. That's why when I say these, you know, Kevin McCarthy and these people, they may be afraid of him in a certain way, but it's what's more motivating them is they look at him and go, this is the gravy. This is the big pack horse pulling the gravy train. And he's too stupid to know that he's the one pulling the gravy train. And all we have to do to get him to continue to pull this gravy train, just hold a carrot right out in front of his nose. And the carrot is, oh, you're so wonderful. Oh, you're so
pretend
good.
Pretend to like him and laugh behind his back. And of all the places to find that, there's a story in the Atlantic right now about, mm-hmm. of all people, Brett Kavanaugh. And apparently, Brett Kavanaugh was disgusted he despised Trump. And he was disgusted at having to lick his boots to get a position that he felt he was entitled to, but he was willing to do it because of how badly he wanted it. That he wanted to fuck America so badly that he would get down in the waller and roll around in the muck and the filth with Donald Trump. And, of course, the same thing applies to Amy Covid Barrett or Ann's boy Neil.
Listen.
Robin, you think that others are manipulating him. He is not the organist. You don't think he is the organist. He is.
He's the vehicle. He is no more the cause of the problems in the modern GOP. Than I am. He is a symptom of a disease that has ravaged this country.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
Since 1980.
We're talking about two different things. You don't think he is aware of his own manipulative power.
He thinks he has power. And people play with that power.
Exactly.
But in the end, what they're not playing to Donald Trump. they're playing to the fools, you know, the rubes at home. You know, they don't fear to cross him because they fear him personally. He's not going to Ernst Rome anybody, but he can rile up the mouth walking knuckle breathers back in left buttocks, Arkansas.
So that's not a species of power. You don't think
because all he did was unleash. All he did was unleash this ugly bigotry. It's out of the bottle, and it's the only way that the Republican Party has of maintaining power. So, you know, if there's no Trump, to be a little bit, maybe a little bit enigmatic, if there's no Trump, there will always be a Trump. How else do you explain Josh Hawley, Tom Cotton? How else do you explain the fact that Liz Cheney voted 93% of the time with him?
You mean that even if Trump were, even if Trump went away, there would always and ever be someone to take his place?
If he chokes on his well done New York strip tonight, and there's nobody to Heimlich him, the maggot movement will still be there tomorrow.
That's interesting.
And then there will be a little internecine war among Dumb and Dumber and I Wank 'Em a Daddy to see who wears the crown, who takes up the mantle. And again, it's not necessarily because of their power, it's because they recognize the power they can tap into. I mean, Alabama, this goes all the way back to, 2012, I was running around Wisconsin, and we talked about why the Koch brothers were attacking Wisconsin. And my answer was to talk about the Wisconsin idea and progressivism in Wisconsin. And I said, of course the Koch brothers are going to spend money ruining Wisconsin state government. Because where's the value in making Alabama weirder?
Yeah.
All he did was tap and embolden a zeitgeist that was already there waiting. You know, they would have gone out against Hillary Clinton in Alabama or Mississippi Stan, wherever. They would have gone out and voted against Hillary one way or the other in 2016. Mm-hmm. But they wouldn't have been excited about a nominee, Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio, who the fuck ever. But they would have gone out, and Hillary probably would have won. But they got excited. They got just like they got excited in August of 1980, when Reagan gave his states' rights speech in Neshoba County, Mississippi. They got excited because there was finally someone telling these poor, put-upon white people that the real reason that America can't be great is because of those others. And you are free to interpret those others in whichever way best suits your innate bigotry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, isn't that an elegantly simple explanation?
Yeah, I don't want to. I still think he's so dangerous. But one thing you said earlier today was that Liz Cheney basically, you know, launched her 2024 campaign. I believe that.
Well, I do too. Yeah. And you know what? It'll be a good dollar. Because Cheneys are already always about dollars. We murdered a million Iraqi civilians for Dick Cheney's fucking bottom line.
Yeah, the Chinese know how to count dollars, that's for sure.
I have a note here from Brother Deacon Asa, who says, disclaimer, not trying to toot Cheney's horn or lionize her whatsoever, but I don't think we're giving Liz enough credit here. She's more intelligent than we're giving her props for. She knows that Trump's veneer is wearing thin and cracking at best. She's recognized that there's an opportunity for someone to take on the mantle of Trump's arch nemesis. Given the patriarchal nature of the GQP, Mitch should ordinarily be in that position, but he's already spent his capital losing to Barack Hussein Obama. Plus, the magic underwear don't help when your potential constituents are a pack of degenerate horn dogs. Am I out to lunch on this one? No, I don't think so.
No.
No. And Mitt's too old. And Mitt's too boring.
Yeah.
You know, this is a clamoring gang of people who want to see blood in the arena. They like the idea of politics being reduced to Saturday night wrestling down to the armory. They want to see somebody get hit with a chair, and Trump was the guy who got started in TV by hitting somebody, Vince McMahon, with a chair.
Was it WWE wrestling, whatever.
Yeah, his origins aren't in some goddamn stupid reality program. It was in wrestling. And we've heard the stories that Scott in San Diego tells about his beloved auntie and how she'd sit there with her open can of beer and her cigarette screaming at the TV, "Hit him again! Hit him in the back!" That's America.
Wow. That's profound. Yeah, it's true.
Can I say something else?
Go ahead, Steve.
I just got a message from my partner. I got to give him a call up in Penuglia. Let me clarify, or maybe offer some clarification on the analogy, the metaphor that Flavio said. He said, "Do you think Trump is playing the organ?" Here's what I think. Trump is sitting at the organ. He's banging on the keys. The organ's not turned on. It's the Kevin McCarthys of the world who are backstage playing the real organ. The thing is, the rubes are out in the church watching Trump play the organ and think he's playing it.
I think you're overestimating Kevin McCarthy at this point. He's pathetic.
I'm using him as a surrogate for the quote unquote the real powers that be. I think Kevin McCarthy's a doofus, I wouldn't be surprised if the Republicans do take the House. You know, him thinking that he's going to be the Speaker. I have a feeling that the smarter people in the House will basically be like, "Thanks, Kevin. But we're actually going to vote for somebody." Look, whatever you think about.
Steve, I know you have to go, but remember this. There are people right now whispering in Trump's ear, telling him that the Speaker of the House constitutionally need not be a member of the House.
But you know what? Everyone knows that that's not going to happen, because whatever you think about Speaker of the House, that person probably has to be the best politician in all of Washington. Because, I mean, you know, fine, we had, you know, horrible people. I mean, Newt Gingrich is a horrible person, but I'm telling you.
Very.
That guy was a good tactician. I was there. I see how he marshaled the entire party around that stupid contract with America. He knew how to pull people together. Like it or not, he did. We have had some dumb ones, but what happens when we have dumb ones is nothing happens. And the last thing Trump wants is for nothing to happen.
Yeah, but consider what just happened to Liz Cheney. How many votes do you think Donald Trump could get for Speaker of the House? Because the maggots back home would begin furiously playing with themselves at the very thought of it.
True.
And you think that Clyde dude from Georgia, or Paul Gooser, or Jim Shorts Jordan, or Margie, or Clanny Oakley, I mean, how many are there? Like I said early in the program, it's whatever the number of House members there are minus 10. Mm-hmm. And they feel exactly no loyalty for Kevin McCarthy.
Oh, no. Uh-uh.
They would, I think if he pursues it, he might well have it.
And then not to mention,
is that not chilling?
Yes, that is chilling. And it feeds into QAnon narrative, because then he's third in line to the presidency. Well, you see, it's all his plan.
Yeah, Q was right all along. He's coming back. He's coming back. And then if they've got the majority, which they would have for him to be speaker in the first place, then Biden is impeached and Kamala Harris is impeached.
Yeah.
And bang, just like Q said, he's president again. And before 2024, just like Q said.
Oh, God.
And that, but of course, don't tell. Of course, these people think impeached means removed from office.
Gentlemen, is there no hope? Is there absolutely no hope that the Southern District of New York or some other district?
No. Cyrus Vance apparently has the goods, but the question is, can Cyrus Vance get it done before Cyrus Vance's term is up? Because he's announced he's not running again. But he's hired. He's hired a hot shot financial crimes lawyer, and he's got the banking records. And who knows when? And then there's Tish James. Who knows when the indictments will roll out?
This is what I mean. We've been waiting for this forever. When is this gonna? You know, I mean.
But Flavio, hold on. Do you think Trump under indictment would slow the maggot caucus in the House down one iota?
Nope. And they would still vote for him. I mean, we'd have a Speaker of the House serving from jail. And they have the majority. They wouldn't, you know, you can't expel a person who's not a member of the House.
Right. And Jim Shorts Jordan would wind up running the House as his chief lieutenant. Or maybe Matt Gaetz.
God.
I know these sound like crazy Looney Tunes.
No, it's
unfathomable.
It's awful.
But it could happen.
You know what's so scary is they don't. What's so scary, Robin, is that they don't sound loony.
Because I was just going to say what this boils down to is every flaw in the Constitution has been sought, found, and exploited, and there's a few left that haven't been exploited yet, and they thoroughly intend to exploit them. Steve, enjoy your conversation.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry about that, Robin, and I'm sorry about that, Flavio. I just got a message from him. We have some stuff to go about.
Steve. Take care of yourself.
Take care, Steve.
Bye now.
Be good.
I have to go too.
I hope I haven't ruined dinner or your midnight snack that you're not going to have because your knees won't let you.
No, I gotta get dinner on, but I'll continue listening, and I just maybe want to let someone else get in.
And well, we're pretty close to done, but
I want to ask you, don't think that a lot of times when I don't know why you thought this, but when I tune off, first of all, I listen to you, I prefer to listen to you, not on head on, but on the White Rose Society stream.
Sure.
Because that way I can put it through my VLC media player, and I can use the ska setting on the VLC media player, so I get more treble, and I can hear things better.
Oh, okay.
And they're not as muffled. They're clearer. Okay.
I didn't know I was muffled.
It's not you. It's how my setup is.
Oh, I see. Computer. I see.
And that's the cops. They're going crazy. Because I live right by the cop shop. But anyway, it'll stop. But the point, a lot of times I will shut off because I know that I can come back to it and listen again through the archives. On the White Rose Society.
Yeah.
So don't think that it has anything, you know, to do with.
I didn't.
Whatever topic you're talking about.
I didn't. I don't.
It has to do with whatever happened at that particular point that I have to leave. And there have been some moments when I have had to leave, like, you know.
Yeah, post-haste.
Post-haste, you know, because something, you know, I need to catch the bus or something, and then, you know. But I just wanted to let you know that.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate it, Flavia.
You know that.
Yeah.
But I don't even listen, even though I have head-on going on right now. Because, you know, in case, you know, I have to go off and, you know, I still want it on, but I won't be talking with you, but, you know, that kind of thing. But generally I listen to the MP3 stream on Ben Birch's White Rose Society.
Sure.
Cause I can channel it through my
media player,
and then the media player has like an equalizer, and then I can adjust the equalizer so that I can catch every nuance. You know, it doesn't sound like it's in a bottle or going,
right.
You know. So I just want to let you know that.
Okay, well, no worries.
And
thank you kindly.
And the other thing is. Yeah, God help us all. I don't want these people. They're diabolical. The way they twist everything. You know.
And just remember, it's in service to a larger purpose. They twist, and you know that's what makes the big lie so dangerous.
Yeah,
you know, because the larger purpose it's in service to is. Dark and twisted and wicked, because it is ultimately an end of constitutional governance.
It really is, and it's sad that most people don't get this. I mean, they're just, you know, it's this white grievance thing. I mean, honestly, shame on them. What has a black person ever cost them?
Not a damn thing.
Nor
the Latinx community, nor the indigenous community, nor the Asian community, LGBTQIA+ community. But
what is? They've always had their privileges. They've always
right, but they perceive they operate from fear and guilt, Flavia. They live in mortal fear, and Tracy has touched on this. Todd's talked about it. Other members of this community, they are scared to death that if somebody besides white people ever hold power, that they'll start treating white people like white people treated them. And it's just not true.
Nah. All you got to do is just, you know, live in D.C. for a while. I can say this, you know, because... I have siblings in Washington, D.C. as well.
Sure.
In fact, I've got my blind sister who with her hubby, they're getting their PhDs now. I forget, in Gallaudet. That's in D.C., right?
Yeah, Gallaudet. Yeah,
Gallaudet. And yeah, I mean, it's a chocolate city in principle, but the white people still rule over there.
they're still running the show. Without a doubt.
Yeah, they're still running the show. I'm sorry, but you know, it's like you got to be kidding.
I mean, if they weren't, D.C. would be a state by now.
Yeah, D.C. would be. There you go.
Flavio, have a good evening, my friend. Enjoy your dinner.
Have a good night. I'm having stroganoff.
Oh,
stroganoff.
That sounds damn fine. I'm trying to cut the pasta and the starches and all of that out of my diet.
I'm having a half of a portion of a, you know, as much as they can fit in my hand. Well, that's what I'm going by. Like, anything you can fit in the palm of your hand, that's a serving. And you're only to have a serving, so.
Well, then enjoy it and savor it slowly.
Slowly. I love you, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Flavio. Have a wonderful evening. I love our conversation.
You know, anytime I can, I do send a little.
Oh, I know. Don't worry. Don't worry. I appreciate it. All of us do. Have yourself a good evening, my friend.
Take good care.
You too. Bye-bye. I love my conversations with Flavio, and we've had good conversations all this week. Note coming in, Steve's reference to Hitler. With Hitler, Darlene notes, maybe it was some sort of ideology, but we cannot overlook the historical context. World War I led to World War II. Reparations were destroying the German people economically along with their pride, and Hitler capitalized on that. He capitalized on an angry, frustrated workforce that was vast relative to Western Europe, and out of work and angry. And they hated the perceived licentiousness of an inclusive and open and diverse Weimar Germany. Trump is no different than Hitler in that regard, insofar as he capitalized on people's hatreds and grievances, Darlene notes. And she's correct in that regard. And so here we are at the close of this Thorn in the Side Thursday, Friday on the front porch tomorrow. I guess we're going to have a 4-digit fundraising goal. Somewhere around $1,000 or so. And we'll see how that plays out. Thanks to all of you who keep this program on the air. And thanks to you for your conversation and your input and your emails. It makes this program as special and unique as it is. Thanks to our monthly subscribers, both Patreon and PayPal. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to our a la carte contributors this evening and today. Thank you so much to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you may so choose. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiteRoseSociety.org. Keep getting better, Ben. Because you can. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. If you haven't, please reach out. And if you have, reach out again. Until they do, sign on as co-sponsors of HR 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AIC Act. It literally means the world to Appalachia. And please stay safe. Get your vaccine. If you haven't already, get it as soon as you possibly can. good news today. CDC says we don't, if we're fully vaccinated, we don't have to wear masks in most out in outdoor situations. And it's a step forward because some Americans are doing the right thing. But get your vaccine. Take all the necessary precautions. Keep washing your hands. Keep not touching your face. Keep using your hand sanitizer. And because you don't know who is and who isn't, if you're in a group and you don't know that people are vaccinated, maintain your social distance. And if somebody comes towards you squawking about how that AOC is a fraud and a liar and she supports terrorists, BLM, and Antifa, avoid that person like the plague. Because she is. Later.